I'm Steph.
I'm Kim.
And this is Solved, Unsolved, or Spooky. Good evening, our beautiful true crimers.
Hey, everyone.
I hope everybody's doing well this week. Sorry we're late again.
We had issues with our service and internet because flooding.
Yep. And just it never stops. It's always something.
It was terrible. Like, I didn't realize how much I looked up the weather because I was like, I want to look up the weather. And I couldn't.
No. No access to anything.
Because I wanted to know how much more rain we were going to get.
Apparently we're going to get plenty.
Yeah, so it's going to rain till at least next Monday.
Now this, we've had to decide, it's going to be the last episode for the year.
Yeah.
We just have way too much on and we're letting people down, just not getting things out.
So it's been chaotic.
Yeah. So it's going to be more of a silly, funny one this week to close off on. And we're not sure exactly when we'll be back next year, but we'll be back at some point. But we're really just in the throes of building the house and it's just taking...
Someone put petrol in their diesel car.
Oh, yeah, I did that too. I put petrol in my diesel car.
And so I'm chauffeuring again.
Yeah, so she's driving me around yet again. But my car has been fixed by some incredible mechanic.
Yes.
Go the NRMA. And... Yeah, but it's now at the another place getting
its air-con looked at.
Air conditioning looked at. My car, I tell you what.
Oh, I know. I'm, like, thankful we have my car and it's hanging in there. It's got so many issues.
Yeah, Kim's car's going to the doctor's as soon as my car's back on the road.
My little Rodeo, it's holding in there.
Holding in there.
Holding.
Holding. Thank goodness for the Rodeo, that's all I've got to say. Have you got any news?
Just that rain and my plants are going insane.
Oh, yeah, your garden's going nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, because one day when we have our house, we're going to have incredible gardens.
We are.
And I'm preparing for that day. I don't know.
I don't think I have anything except Christmas is like 2 weeks away, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, I do have news.
Actually, I was thinking about saying it earlier. I totally forgot.
Okay, so Kimberly and I and three of her sisters.
I only have three.
We only have three. So the five of us are all going to be going on like a detective thing. It's called Clued Up. And you go to a certain place and you find hints and witness statements and there's weapons and all sorts of stuff.
It's going to be cool.
And you dress up like detectives and just be totally crazy, but you've got to try and solve the murder. It's called The Ripper. And you've got to try and solve the murder and be first to solve it.
Mm.
But it's going to be absolutely incredible. So we've hit the op shop. We've got a few bits and pieces. We've still got more hot op shops to hit. So, yeah, when we do come back, we'll put photos up on Facebook or whatever those
things. Well, we can do that anyway.
Yeah, we can do that. We'll put some photos up.
We'll put some photos up.
Let you know that we won because we're going to win. And, yeah.
She's determined.
We are going to have the best time ever. So we'll be thinking of all of you. And you got any other goss?
No.
So maybe we should get into it. So...
I've already forgotten what we're doing.
Okay, so I just typed in dumb crimes.
Oh, yeah, dumb crimes. Yep. I love dumb crimes. There's, like, also, like, criminals that get, like, taken down by, like, the stupidest way.
I know, it's cool.
Like, hey? The guy with his milk crate.
What happened to the guy with his
milk crate? I think it was in Sydney. Some dude was, like, I can't remember. He might have had a gun or something. And this, like, guy got him with a milk crate.
Oh, I love it.
Awesome.
They come in handy.
They do, actually.
All right. So I've just got heaps of them. I'll just start reading and see where we go.
Cool.
Okay. So the police said a missing girl's hand signal saved her. A teenage girl used a hand signal popularized on TikTok to signal for help.
I think I've seen the article for this.
Like the Gabby Petito one.
Yeah.
The 16-year-old from North Carolina had been missing for days when she was rescued on Thursday. James Herbert Brick, 61, of Cherokee, North Carolina, was arrested in Laurel County, Kentucky, and charged with unlawful imprisonment. Authorities say Brick and the teen were traveling from Ohio in a silver Toyota when another driver saw her use the signal and called 911. Cool is that?
That is.
The caller stayed on the phone while following the car until it exited I-75 South and deputies took over. Investigators say Brick had a phone with material on it that allegedly portrayed a juvenile female in a sexual manner.
Ew.
Deputies say the girl's family knows Brick but did not say how the two wound up in a car together. The girl had left her home in Asheville, North Carolina, on Tuesday and had been with Brick for days. She said they had driven through Tennessee as well as North Carolina, Kentucky, and Ohio. The gesture, which starts with a raised hand with the palm out and the thumb tucked in, then the fingers fold over the thumb, was introduced by the Canadian Women's Foundation. The organization has posted a video demonstrating it and a diagram of it online. So that's good.
Mm.
Alrighty, sorry, I'm having trouble with my computer here because I've let the other one go flat.
I was just thinking, like, it's just a young girl. And I was just thinking about all the podcasts we've been listening to lately, like True Crime Garage and Case File, and they're all about kids.
Oh, all about children. It's terrible.
Like, what? It's crazy.
Alright, this one. A man gets prison time after a botched castration in a cabin. So this one will be...
What?
A man in Oklahoma was arrested last year on charges of performing an illegal surgery. He's been sentenced to 2 years in jail and 10 years in prison. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Bob Lee Allen, 54, pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit unlicensed surgery, practicing medicine without a license, and attempted distribution of a psychedelic mushroom.
Oh, there you go.
Surgery in question was a castration, and the person on whom it was performed actually volunteered.
Oh, really? I was about to say, was this a willing or like, was he restrained?
He's happy to have it taken off.
Wow.
Allen agreed to plead guilty after his husband, Thomas Evans Gates III, agreed to testify against him. The crime was discovered when the 28-year-old victim started to hemorrhage drove him to the hospital for bleeding after the botched surgery.
I mean, I feel like you should leave that to a trained professional.
I think so. You know?
Oh.
The victim said he met Allen online via a website he said was called The Eunuch Maker.
Okay.
An EM crew. He flew from Virginia to Texas and then was given a ride to a cabin in Oklahoma where the surgery was performed on a table.
Sounds legit.
Just sounds, yep. He said Allen told him he was a cannibal.
Oh. Okay.
Who planned to eat the body parts he removed.
Interesting.
Police found the parts in a plastic bag in a freezer. Allen also reportedly told the victim he had 6 more patients booked in for surgery.
Oh, my God.
Gates also pleaded guilty to some charges in exchange for having felony charges dropped and will have to pay about $2,000 in fines.
Wow. I mean, I feel like in that situation there's going to be a lot of bacteria and infection. And
he's lucky to be alive. Like, he went to the hospital.
Could have got septicemia or, you know. Oh,
all right.
Because you know those tools aren't sterilized.
No. I'm glad he got caught before he did the other 6.
He could have killed someone.
Probably has.
Probably.
All right, this one. Wrong order of chicken wings led to attempted murder. Yes, you've got to get your chicken wings right.
Wow. Apparently. Well, I don't eat chicken, so. Yeah,
neither do I. A squabble over a fast food order between a father and son.
What?
Right, yes.
Oh, my God.
Led to an attempted murder charge in Utah. Insider reports that 31-year-old Alika Suliafu was arrested on the 21st of October in Bountiful, about a 20-minute drive from Salt Lake City, and it was apparently over chicken wings.
Chicken.
Suliafu's father came home with the wings order, and a fight ensued once Suliafu saw what kind of meal he was about to eat.
What was it?
No, because I've just gone too far.
Oh, the suspense.
When he discovered the wings were not the variety he liked, he became upset and began to argue.
Wow.
He then allegedly went to another room, retrieved a firearm from his dad's bag.
Oh, my God.
And pointed it straight at his father, who pleaded with him not to shoot.
Oh, my God.
The father also wisely ducked. So when Suliafu did pull the trigger, the bullet whizzed by him. So he tried to kill him.
He was trying to kill his dad over wings, like chicken wings.
A little bit privileged, do you think?
Wow.
Instead, the bullet passed through a wall and into the neighbour's dishwasher.
He needs to be psychologically examined.
Mm. Police say the two men then scuffled as the father tried to get the gun away from his son.
I mean, yeah.
Two more shots ended up being fired into the ceiling.
Oh, God.
And the father says he was then able to eject the gun's magazine and run out of the residence.
Yeah, I'd be running. That kid's psycho.
Hmm.
Wow.
Should have got the right chicken wings.
Apparently.
Suliafu was gone by the time the police arrived, but he was taken into custody later. On Tuesday, a first-degree felony attempted murder charge was filed against him by the County Davis Attorney Office, as well as a charge for felony discharge of a firearm. Police have asked that Suliafu not be granted bail as he's serving a plea in abeyance for an assault charge.
I mean, if he's willing to shoot his own dad over chicken wings.
I wonder what's going
to
happen when
I feel like he shouldn't be released.
What happens when he gets to jail and he's, you know?
He's not going to get chicken wings.
He's not going to get his chicken wings. All right. A woman allegedly cut a rope. Oh, this is terrible. This is shocking. This is shocking.
Okay.
A woman allegedly cut a rope holding the painter's 30 stories up. You can just see it, can't you?
Oh, my God. What? No.
Snip. Snip. So a resident of a high-rise condominium in Thailand cut the support rope for two painters. She was apparently angry she wasn't told that they would be doing the work and left them hanging above the 26th floor until a couple rescued them.
Oh, my God.
Police said on Wednesday, the woman is facing attempted murder and property destruction.
That's the one I'd be well concerned about.
The police chief didn't say what prompted her to cut the rope, but Time Media reported that she was apparently frustrated when the workers appeared outside her room and she hadn't seen an announcement by the condo that they'd be doing work on that date.
Well, obviously the only way to respond is to cut their support line.
Yes.
Wow. Bit extreme.
Okay. A video clip on social media showed two painters asking the residents on the 26th floor to open the window and let them in.
Oh, my God.
One of the painters, Myanmar national named Song, told Time Media that he and his two friends had lowered themselves from the 32nd floor to repair a crack on the building. When he reached the 30th floor, he felt that the rope was heavier, and when he looked down, he saw someone on the 21st floor open a window and cut his rope.
Oh, my God.
He tried asking for help from other units, but nobody was in.
Oh.
The third colleague continued to support them from the top floor. The management of the condo accompanied the painters to report the incident to the police. The 34-year-old woman at first denied she was responsible, but police sent the severed rope for a fingerprint and DNA analysis. On Wednesday, the woman and her lawyer appeared at the police station. After police showed her the CCTV footage and the forensic evidence, she confessed but denied any intention to kill the workers.
I don't know what she was planning on doing then, because if you're cutting ropes and they're up in the air, like, what do you think's going to happen?
Yeah. The police chief said the suspect was temporarily released. Why not? Let her go cut some more rope. She should face a prison term of up to 20 years if found guilty on a charge of attempted murder. How's that then?
Hmm.
All right. This one's a bit horrible, I guess.
Okay.
So a daycare owner was sentenced for hiding kids behind a fake wall.
What?
Just what you want to know is happening to your children when you're leaving with someone.
Oh, my God.
A woman who kept more than 24 kids behind a false wall in a basement was sentenced to 6 years in prison. Carla Faith was found guilty of 26 counts of child abuse and some other charges, including running a daycare without a license.
Oh, even better.
In August, police found the kids at a house at the Colorado Springs Woman's Mountain Place facility in November 2019. Following up on tips that she had more kids there than the 6 her license allowed, Faith told an officer that there were no kids on the property, even though music and crying could be heard.
Oh, crying.
Another officer found a false wall blocking stairs to a basement, which was full of kids.
Oh, my God.
She also said the stack of backpacks in a closet were for a soccer team. There were 25 children in the basement and 12 kids were under 2 years old. That's terrible.
Mm.
Faith was only allowed to have 2 kids that young in her care. Police say many of the kids needed a diaper change and they were sweaty and thirsty when they were found. Faith's lawyer, Josh Tolini, said she kept accepting kids when parents would ask her to look after them and made incredibly poor decisions.
That's one way of putting it.
Mm. Okay. One of the other employees, Christina Swarga, was also convicted and is awaiting sentencing. All right. This one's another idiot. A Cairo area reporter had his phone grabbed from his hand by a thief on a motorbike. But it wasn't exactly the perfect crime. The reporter had been live streaming a broadcast at the time, and the thief's face was seen by millions.
Oh, idiot.
Mohamed Raghib was on a bridge in the city of Shubra al Kamai when his phone was taken, the BBC reports. He'd been reporting on the aftermath of an earthquake when viewers suddenly saw the face of the thief. Who was smoking a cigarette and looking back nervously as he sped away from the scene.
But?
The phone's camera was pointing towards the man during the getaway and it wasn't switched off until minutes later. Some 20,000 people were watching the live stream at the time and millions more viewed video of the theft on the site's Facebook page. Viewers joked that the man shouldn't have bothered looking behind him because the whole world is watching you. He was arrested hours after the theft. Officials said the unemployed man admitted to the crime and told police he'd sold the phone to a trader. A man in a tow truck led police on an extremely slow chase through the streets of San Diego, never hitting speeds of over 10 kilometres an hour. The pursuit began around 7:45 p.m. as police went after an allegedly stolen tow truck. Over the course of an hour, officers followed the vehicle from Pacific Beach neighbourhood to a downtown area that included a 5-mile-an-hour jaunt on Interstate 5. The driver, who was at one point on the phone with dispatchers, allegedly reported that there was a bomb on the truck and that it would explode if he stopped, a scenario that played out in the 1994 movie Speed.
I was just about to say, like, Speed.
Oh, dear. KNSD shared footage of the tow truck followed by at least a dozen police vehicles slowly driving along with its flatbed dragging against the road, creating puffs of smoke and a trail of sparks. The outlet also shared footage of police firing pepper balls inside the truck cab. after using spike strips to take out the vehicle's front tyres. The driver is seen sitting in the stopped truck as the irritant clouds around him. He soon after exits with his hands up. Police said they found no bomb inside the truck, which hit at least one other vehicle during the chase. The unidentified driver, to face charges including vehicle theft, was taken to hospital for evaluation. And now we've got the opposite. Troopers chased down a stolen Jeep being driven at speeds reaching 110 miles an hour. So that's like 200 k's an hour.
Whoa.
Over the weekend. The Nebraska State Patrol said when they caught up, the patrol said troopers found an 11-year-old boy at the wheel.
Oh, what?
And two 14-year-old passengers.
Oh, my God.
Crazy. The chase began after the police received a report just after 1 a.m. on Saturday that the Jeep Gladiator was stolen in Lincoln and was bound for Omaha on Interstate 80.
I do love Jeeps.
I do love Jeeps too. A trooper soon spotted the Jeep there and tried to stop it. The Jeep stopped briefly but took off again when the trooper tried to talk to the driver. The chase resumed, with a handgun being thrown out of the Jeep along the way. My goodness.
Okay.
Another trooper picked up the gun, which has also been reported stolen. What are these children doing?
Interesting. For a second, I had forgotten they were children.
The Jeep's driver then stopped on his own and let troopers approach, this time without fleeing again. The chase lasted about 3 minutes, a reporter said, and no one was hurt. The troopers reported finding a second stolen handgun in the Jeep.
What were these kids doing? How did they get guns?
All three were taken into custody with the 14-year-old's charged with suspicion of possession of a stolen firearm and taken to a youth detention centre. The driver was cited on suspicion of theft by unlawful taking of over $5,000, possession of a stolen firearm, flight to avoid arrest, willful reckless driving and obstruction, along with other traffic violations. But because Nebraska law prohibits putting anyone 12 or younger into detention, police said he was turned over to his mum.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yep.
So that's I'm like, you commit a crime. I don't care how old you are.
So that'll be happening again.
Like, you need to face some repercussions for what you've done.
Crazy.
Like, maybe not jail, but you need something.
All right. Guards usually don't have to watch for people breaking into a jail.
Not usually. Usually breaking out.
So it may be only a little bit surprising that they didn't notice the man climbing over two fences and scrambling up a second floor door. An alarm went off in the Maple Street Correctional Centre in Redwood City, and a correctional officer went to check it out. The source of the ruckus was Moses Donna Robles, 35, who was more than a little confused and under the influence of meth and alcohol.
Oh, that's a good mix.
He was sitting in a lobby inside the facility. The officer who saw him did a double take. Robles was wearing street clothes in an area reserved for inmates. He told police he was fleeing a man with a gun.
Oh.
He admitted to being under the influence and also had other people's credit cards with him.
Okay.
You might as well stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He pleaded not guilty to some misdemeanor charges on Wednesday, and it's not the first time someone had made an arrest incredibly convenient for police. In 2014, a man broke into the police station in Vermont, and a woman in Pittsburgh trying to steal a car chose a cop car with the cops still in it.
That's the best one.
Pretty good, eh? When the deputies saw horse feces on the living room floor, they pieced together the mystery pretty quickly. They showed up at a house summoned by a woman who saw her nephew ride by and remembered that her nephew definitely didn't own a horse.
Oh, my God.
They tried to talk to Gary Chase, Cobble Jr., from outside, but couldn't make out what he was saying. Then they called Cobble's father, who owns the house Cobble had been seen leading the horse into, and he told the deputies his son wasn't allowed to be there when they went in, they saw a horse.
Interesting. No. Not usually. When they went in,
they saw horse poop. They asked Cobble to come out of a bedroom. It was at this time that I observed a full-size quarter horse standing in the middle of the bedroom, one deputy wrote in a report.
How many hands was it, do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
It sounds like it's nice and big.
The horse calmly hung out in the bedroom while deputies took Cobble into custody. Now in the same room together, deputies still struggled to understand Cobble. The only thing that made sense concerning the incident was that the horse's name was Jubilee. Okay. A deputy wrote, Jubilee is fine, by the way. The horse's owner was located and looked the animal over, noticing only a small cut on the front of his left leg.
Oh.
Cobble faces charges including one for livestock theft. He was already wanted on some other charges, including one for throwing a mandolin into a pasture. So he sounds interesting.
It's definitely, yeah.
Shane Goldsby asked for a new cellmate.
Oh, okay.
Goldsby, 25, was in prison for a stabbing,
wow,
stealing a police car and injuring a state trooper in Washington State. His cellmate, Robert Munger, age 70, was in for child rape,
ew,
child molestation and possession of child pornography.
I'd want a new roommate too.
One of Munger's victims was Goldsby's little sister.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Who is still a minor.
Wow.
Washington's Department of Corrections didn't approve of housing change, so Goldsby said living with his sister's rapist was torture.
I feel like that would be a very, like, conflict there. Like,
I think so.
I feel like there's no way that they'd let that happen.
No, they shouldn't. Oh, but I don't know.
Like, yeah.
I wasn't stable at that point. I wasn't, and fair enough. I was getting to that point because he kept wanting to give me details about what happened. That's terrible.
Mm.
Now Goldsby's been sentenced to 25 more years in prison for killing Mr. Munger.
I feel like I knew that was coming.
Court documents say Goldsby hit Munger in the face several times, stamping on his head when he fell.
Mm.
He says he didn't mean to kill Munger and that he wanted him to spend his whole life in prison. In a statement in court, read by his lawyer because he was too overcome to read it himself, Goldsby said, I cannot imagine what it'd be like to lose a loved one in this kind of way. I'm so sorry and I hope you are able to heal from what I caused. In an interview a year ago, shortly after Munger's death, Goldsby addressed his little sister, I hope to God that I see you again. I hope to God that if I don't see you again, then you know why I did what I did. There you go. Well, I think someone else should be paying a little bit for that, don't you reckon? Like the cops.
Oh, people who put them together. Yeah. That's
crazy.
Like that was inevitable.
Inevitable outcome. Yep. Alrighty. A Florida man returning home from a doctor's appointment found a stranger skinny dipping in his backyard swimming pool.
What?
At first, the man only noticed clothes scattered across his lawn. Charlotte's county sheriff officials said in a social media post. Then he saw the woman in his pool and called deputies.
So random.
The woman was hostile and told sheriff's deputies to leave her alone. They asked her several times to get out of the pool and get dressed.
Well, if you don't live here, you can't just go skin anything in people's souls.
She finally followed their orders but resisted when the deputies tried to detain her. She pulled away and said she was not going anywhere. Deputies took her to the Charlotte County Jail, but she refused to tell them her name. Officials eventually identified her through previous jail booking photos. The 42-year-old woman was charged with trespassing and resisting a law enforcement officer without violence. All right. Sounds like it's going to be a good one. Brave New York mum saves her 5-year-old son from an alleged kidnapping on Friday. Police say Dolores Diaz was walking with her 3 kids in Queens when James McGonigal, 24, jumped out of a parked car and snatched her son Jacob. Diaz and her other 2 kids ran after him. She reached through the car's window and pulled her boy to freedom. Surveillance videos of the incident shows Diaz's struggle and bystanders trying to stop the maroon sedan from leaving. Police say McGonagall was arrested Friday night at a Brooklyn hospital while dealing with some mental health problems. A man who was with him, possibly his father, is still being looked for.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, the little boy, pulled from the car, was frightened but physically okay after the incident. If they didn't give my brother back, I would have to go punch them, Jacob's older brother, Benny, said.
Aww.
What a cool mum.
That's crazy.
Oh, my gosh, this is another bit of a shocker. Police investigating a break-in at a dental office in Nevada uncovered a disturbing crime.
Oh, my God.
Police say Laurel Each, the 42-year-old dental office employee, accused of breaking into the office and stealing more than $23,000 in cash.
Oh, wow.
And checks from a drawer, also pulled 13 teeth from one person, despite not having a license to do so.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Investigators say the unauthorized dental surgery, which occurred sometime before the May 4 break-in at the office in Sunny Valley, involved anesthetic that had been disposed of by the dental office. She was arrested, admitting to performing the unlicensed extractions. She's been charged with felonies, including performing surgery on another without a license, burglary of a business, grand larceny, and she also faces 3 counts of violation of probation on condition of a suspended sentence. This one's ridiculous. Police say a Louisiana man stole his girlfriend's ring. He then pawned it and used the money to put down a payment on an engagement ring for her.
Okay.
Justin Pope, 29, was arrested on Tuesday for allegedly nabbing the ring belonging to Samantha. As a smoking gun notes, separate addresses are listed for Pope and Samantha, and she's referred to in an affidavit as Pope's then-girlfriend. So they are no longer together.
Mm-hmm.
The alleged incident took place in 2019, and it's not clear why it took so long for Pope to be arrested. Police say Pope returned 2 weeks later for the ring valued at almost $4,500, but it had been allegedly melted down for scrap. Ooh, that's not good, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Earlier this year, another man was accused of stealing an engagement ring from one of his girlfriends and using it to propose to another.
That's not going to go down well.
This one is, I think, a cranky woman. It's hard out there for a single person. Romance doesn't just fall into your lap. Sometimes you have to work for it. So when a man in, I can't say the name of this place, Shoxing in East China, saw an opportunity with a woman he'd been pursuing, he put in some work. Specifically, the man, identified only as Zhu, had been chasing Lu for a long time. Lu agreed to go out with Zhu, but only if he rented a very specific car. It turns out that the car belonged to Lu's old boyfriend, Qian. Lu and Qian dated until he threw her over for another woman. Lu was angry and out for revenge. She rode shotgun with Zhu, drove that rented Audi all over town for 2 days, breaking traffic laws left and right. They got one citation for speeding, but running red lights was where they were really where they really shone. Police saw them run 49 red lights before the police caught Zhu. Police say he confessed that his traffic crime rampage was the only way he could get Lou to go out with him.
Oh, that's sad.
That is sad. This one's sad. When body parts found in a trash bin outside.
Oh, that started well.
A Tehran apartment building turned out to be the remains of one of the residents. Police knocked on the door of the man's elderly parents. Those parents immediately and remorselessly confessed to killing their son.
Oh!
Akbar Kuramdin and his wife, Ivan Musabi, said that their son, Babak, was morally corrupt and they did not regret killing him.
Wow.
They also confessed to killing their daughter and son-in-law in the same manner and for the same reason. Babak, a director of film teacher, had been best known for making a semi-autobiographical movie about a Turkish immigrant to London who returns home to his aging mother. Karamdin, 81, so this is an 81-year-old doing this.
That's insane.
Told courts in Iran that his son had been difficult to raise as a child and difficult to live with. Babak had students come over for lessons in his room, and the couple assumed their son was sleeping with them.
But couldn't just they be giving didn't them lessons.
Approve. They said they'd asked him to move out, but he refused. Musavi, 74, made a dinner for Babak laced with poison. And when he passed out, they suffocated, stabbed, and then dismembered him, they told police.
Wow.
They said they had killed their son-in-law because he was abusive and their daughter because she used drugs.
I mean, bit of an overreaction, I feel.
I think so.
Like, they're killing a whole family.
They showed no regret in their confessions, with Karamdin saying, "They were corrupted and I thank God." They could face a death penalty in the slaying of their son-in-law, but under Iranian law, fathers and grandfathers are exempt from the death penalty in killing their own children.
Huh?
So it must be a thing if you think your children are a little bit naughty.
What?
Yeah.
I feel like nobody should kill anybody.
No.
Like, you just don't kill. But that works for me.
All right. Police in Ossining, New York were called to a mini-mart where they found Blake Leake, 23, trying to break in. They chased Leake through the streets until both cops took a tumble. Seizing the opportunity, Leake sought refuge on the grounds of a large building. The building was Sing Sing Maximum Security Prison, where he was probably promptly nabbed by a guard.
Oh, that's so funny.
These ones are good because they're short ones. Scottish shoplifter Aaron Morrison was picked up after pinching a bottle of vodka from a liquor store. It didn't take Sherlock Holmes to find Morrison, though. His name and phone number were left with a clerk after asking her out on a date.
Oh. Smart.
Mm-hmm. For a trio of drug thieves, it was their lucky day. They broke into a home in Silver Springs, Florida, and discovered 3 jars of cocaine. They took it home and snorted the contents. That's when they discovered that the jars were, in fact, urns. And that
I was about to say they were urns, weren't they?
They were urns, and they were snorting the remains of the victim's husband and 2 dogs.
My God.
Mm-hmm. Get high on that.
Oh.
Okie dokie. Bring your child to work day is a long-honored tradition that allows children to see what goes on in the business world while also getting the chance to watch their parents ply their trade. One crook brought his young son along with him on a job, which appeared to be robbing a pet shop.
Oh, wow.
He was caught soon after, minus something important, his son.
What?
As 2 men waited in line at the coffee shop to pay their bill, a 3rd cut in front of them. He threw a drink at the clerk and demanded all the money from the till. Mm. Temporarily surprised, the men quickly recovered and handcuffed the crook. Apparently in the rush, the criminal didn't notice they were police officers in full uniform. Gotta love people, don't you?
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Recently, a woman in Fresno, California, was stopped at a DUI checkpoint for being drunk. Ever helpful, she offered up this info. My husband's right behind me, and he's even drunker than I am.
Love it. Oh, my God.
When an attempted robbery at Lowe's Home Improvement store went awry, Milton J. Hodges fled across the street and jumped a fence, right into the Cypress Cove nudist resort and spa. As the Orlando Sentinel pointed out, as one of the only folks wearing clothing, he was easily spotted by police.
That's funny.
Okay. It's the worst possible time to faint in the middle of robbing a bank. But that's what happened to a Beaver Creek, Ohio thief. The teller called 911 and asked for medics. But you have to applaud the man's stick-to-itiveness. While the ambulance was en route, the suspect handed a note to the teller demanding all her cash.
Just lay down, mate. That's funny.
A man walked into Baton Rouge, Louisiana hotel and asked the clerk for a room. The clerk wasn't a clerk. He was a state trooper, and the hotel was actually a state trooper station. That's when Des Latt was arrested and charged with driving intoxicated.
Oh, my God.
How many crazy people are out there? Graham Price of South Wales ripped off the bank where he worked, but he wasn't completely duplicitous. He left a note in the safe, borrowed £7 million, signed Graham Price. I hope he went somewhere good.
What?
Mm.
Wow.
A good Samaritan noticed an elderly man being robbed, so he jumped in and punched the thief. The thief was so upset he called the police to complain.
Makes sense.
When Stephen Crane broke into the Reveille Republic newsroom, he used the computers to watch porn and check Facebook. Idiot. Then he doused the office with a fire extinguisher, took some candy and left. It wasn't difficult to find him, however. The police just followed the trail of stolen M&Ms that led to his sister's place across the way. When police in Vancouver, Canada, asked to search Jason's apartment for drugs, he was not a suspect. In fact, they were looking for someone else. That all changed when they got a look at how his name was listed in the cell phone. Jason Porcher, drug dealer. Idiot.
Wow.
Yep. Two men decided a back-to-school event at an office supply store would be the perfect time to do some shoplifting. After all, store clerks would be busy helping an influx of shoppers. The sale happened to coincide with the annual Shop with a Cop Day. Lol. When about 60 police officers show up to help children pick out school supplies.
That's cute.
Oh, but that didn't go down too well.
Not for the robber.
A Target store in Augusta, Georgia, agreed to take back a printer from a dissatisfied customer. Then the clerk noticed some work the customer forgot to remove from the machine. Counterfeit bills.
Oh.
Idiot.
That's funny. Wow.
Two machete-wielding men barged into a Sydney, Australia bar demanding money. They didn't know the club was hosting a bikers meeting at the time. One of the robbers ended up in hospital, the other hog-tied with electrical wire. In Mesa, Arizona, a home break-in was foiled when the burglar jumped through the bedroom window. He got trapped in a clothes hamper. Cops took it from there. That definitely wasn't the kind of clean getaway he had planned. Joseph Goat's alleged attempt to rob a York Peninsula bank met with some snags. Cops say the first teller he tried to rob fainted and the next one had no more cash in their drawers. Fed up, he stormed out, threatening to write an angry letter to the bank. A German bank robber sent mocking emails to local police, ridiculing their efforts to arrest him. It's going to be good. First, he let them know they had his age, build, and accent wrong. Then he corrected their announcement that he'd escaped on foot. No, he had a getaway car. The cops got the last word, though. When they arrested the guy a few hours later, they used his email to trace him. Oh, idiots.
I love it.
After a man kicked in the front door of a Texas home at 3:30 in the morning, the resident fled and called police. When cops arrived, they were surprised to find that the intruder hadn't stolen a thing. Police found the man in the bathroom enjoying a warm bath.
No, actually, if you were going to commit a crime,
that would be the crime.
That's what you'd do.
I would do that, and I'd steal their wine and their wine glasses.
Yep.
That's what I'd be doing.
With some Epsom salt?
Yep. And yeah, I'd be there when the cops came.
Yeah.
Robbie Rose lost his first place medal and was charged with felony after it was discovered that he cheated in a Texas fishing tournament by stuffing a 1 pound weight down the throat of a bass he'd caught. Officials became suspicious when they placed Rose's fish in a tank and it sank to the bottom.
Oh, oh no. Was it alive?
Must have been.
Oh, that is so sad. Or fishy?
According to the bus driver, it was a brutal, this one's funny, unprovoked attack. A woman got on his bus and assaulted him with a half-eaten banana. I had banana all over me, he insisted, on my tie, on my shirt, and my eye. The woman explained that the driver had almost hit her car. When she entered the bus to rationally discuss the matter, the banana slipped right into his tie, his shirt, his eye. The court may not have believed that, but it did believe her when she argued that it was unreasonable that the banana could cause this much damage. They slapped her with a fine of about $100.
Oh, my God. Who attacks someone with a banana?
Police in Pico Rivera, California, had an easy time pinning a four-year-old murder on Anthony Garcia. That's because he pinned it on himself. This guy's a twit. With an elaborate tattoo on his chest, depicting the killing.
Oh.
The cops noticed the incriminating ink when taking Garcia's mugshot for a petty crime. The tattoo revealed all the details of the night, from the Christmas lights, the bent street lamp near the liquor store where the body was found, to the image of the angry helicopter. Garcia's nickname was Chopper, machine gunning the victim.
Wow.
So, yeah. Sold himself.
If you commit a crime, don't tattoo it on yourself.
Mm.
I mean, maybe do, because then it makes it easier.
Makes it easier for cops. Yeah, just, yeah. James Ryan of Memphis was charged with forgery after he handed a waitress a $100 bill. The waitress knew something was funny with the money. Instead of the portly visage of Ben Franklin, it was the star of the $5 bill, Abe Lincoln, who was staring back at her. Well, she knows her stuff.
I wouldn't if I don't know. Like, I've seen the pictures of American money in that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even know what Australian money's got.
What? Yeah, but the colours. Your, like, your $5 note is, like, that weird purpley-blue colour.
Blue is 10.
Yeah, blue's 10.
Orange, 20.
20 is, like, red, isn't it?
Orange.
I think it's red. And then green's your 100.
Yeah, but 50.
Yellow.
Yellow. Obviously, I never have any cash because I don't know this stuff. A woman in Somerset, Massachusetts, was arrested for breaking and entering, but she was quickly caught thanks to her ankle bracelet, the one fitted with a GPS system that she'd gotten from the police for being on probation from an earlier break and entering case.
I have no words.
No. The victim's jewelry was missing, the electronics were gone, and a window was smashed. No wonder she was hysterical when the police arrived there. Her French-speaking father called out, speaking in French, that it was all a scam in order to get the insurance money. What she didn't know was that the police officer spoke six languages, including French. Christopher Oxley of Everett, Washington, was arrested for conducting a drug deal over the phone in the bathroom of the Everett Police Department.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. They do not care.
No, they don't. Like, what? They don't, do they? A 12-year-old boy adamantly denied having stolen an iPhone when questioned by police at his home. And then the iPhone rang in his closet. Okay, yes, he stole that. But as for the BlackBerry he was also accused of stealing, he adamantly denied. Ring, ring. So he's stolen that one as well. Clive Halford thinks big. The British career criminal stole a truck and loaded it with 18 pallets of stolen nickel and copper worth £150,000.
Wow.
The haul was huge, too huge. Cops arrested him after the truck suspension collapsed under the weight.
God.
Earlier, he stole a car, overloaded it, and broke its suspension too.
Oh.
Hmm. Don't you hate it when you suffer a heart attack and think you're going to die? So you confess to a 17-year-old murder only to find out you're not going to die, and then you get sentenced to life in prison as a result?
That's funny.
Yeah, so does James Washington of Nashville, because it happened to him. Love it. That's pretty cool, hey?
That's funny.
Kelly Ruff of Middletown, Ohio, was picked up for shoplifting from a Dollar General store when her two young children in tow. Following a dispute, Craig Aylesworth of Bithlow, Florida, allegedly tossed a Molotov cocktail at his neighbor's trailer home.
Oh.
Just as the wind shifted, sending embers onto his own trailer.
That's crazy.
A San Francisco thief pedaled his bike up to a woman on the sidewalk, snatched the iPhone out of her hands and rode away. Unknown to him, the woman was in the middle of demonstrating the iPhone's new GPS tracking device, which worked. The thief was captured minutes later. A man was impersonating a police officer when he pulled over another car for speeding.
Oh, God.
The driver quickly sussed out that he was fibbing, since he too was a cop.
I was going to say he wasn't a cop.
How convenient. Only a few months earlier, a man from Iowa had his driver's license stolen. Then who should show up at the bar where he worked as a bouncer but the thief, brandishing the bouncer's very own license as his form of ID? Is there no honour among thieves? Whilst two suspects were being questioned by police about shoplifting from a store, someone broke into their car and stole their stereo and several other items. An El Paso, Texas man busted into church to abscond with the safe. Safes are heavy, so he only got a few yards before dropping it on the neighbor's lawn, where he tried to crack it open. That's where he was confronted by the home's occupant, a police officer. And that is all of my crazy stories.
There's a lot of crazy, dumb people out there committing crimes.
There is. And, like, there were so many more. Like, you could just go on and on for hours with stupidity of these people.
Well, maybe in a bit, another episode.
Yes, another crazies episode.
Well, that was crazy. I love the ones where they're, like, just handing themselves to the cops.
They're just crazy people.
What are you doing?
I like the one that, like, deathbed confession.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite. I love deathbed confessions.
I do too.
But they, like, you can do it earlier, you know.
I really wanted Ivan Milat to do a deathbed confession.
Yeah, but he would just, he wouldn't. I'll have to do that next year.
Mm.
I have to go to Belangolo.
Yes, we will.
I used to have to drive past it to get to work when I worked up with Mothvale.
Mm.
Packing books.
Packing books.
That was interesting.
Mm.
Actually, I was thinking about the whole way. I wonder if the Telstra guy paid it off the property.
Yeah, some Telstra dude came for a visit today.
I was driving up the top to get some service and that and go see what Mum was up to. And then I came across the Telstra guy and he's like, I need to look at something, Telstra, whatever they do. And he's like, there's indicators up here. And I'm like, I don't think so. And I'm like, our roads are real dodgy. And he's like, oh, I'll be right. And I'm like, okay, mate, like, I'm not coming up to you.
No, I have no idea if he made it out or not.
Who knows if he's made it out or if he's stuck somewhere.
Now living there in his vehicle.
Yep. I haven't heard any honking or anything, so.
No, but are you going to?
I mean, if he drove off the cliffs, no, but.
Oh, dear.
We literally have a hill on our property, and I call it Death Hill.
Yep.
Because, like, you just can't make it up there without breaking something or rolling.
Yep. Hopefully he hasn't gone up Death Hill.
Yeah. But I've been thinking about that as well the whole time we've been doing this.
Hmm. Well, let's say goodbye and Merry Christmas and Merry whatever you believe. Kimberly be having Merry what?
Luther. Well, Blessed Luther, I don't know.
Blessed Luther.
Yep.
I'll be having Merry Christmas. I'll be having Merry alcohol.
Yeah.
Merry food.
Oh, you know what I'm looking forward to?
What?
My whole favourite thing about Christmas altogether, the day after.
Why?
Do you know what we have the day after?
Bubble and squeak.
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, that's like my favourite thing.
Hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Well, hopefully everyone else has a great time and has enjoyed holidays.
Mm. Hopefully now in our country, in our state or whatever, with the COVID restrictions have been eased, hopefully wherever you live, COVID restrictions have been eased and you can be with your family and loved ones.
COVID needs to go away already.
Yeah. Hopefully you're all okay. Take care. And thank you guys so much. We love you. And
see everyone next year.
We have hit over 30,000 downloads because of you guys. So we're so grateful. Thank you very, very much.
I know. When we first started this, I'm like, yeah, we're going to get like 5 listens maybe. And they're all going to be family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are sorry that we are taking a break. We don't want to let anyone down, but it's just something we do have to do. And
I need a house.
We do. We need a house. We can't live like this any longer.
Literally in caravans in a shack.
Yeah. We need to.
Yeah.
Need to get real.
I know. Every time I go somewhere, they're like, you can turn lights on, you know. And I'm like, well, can you? You don't have to turn the generator on?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
So when we are in the house, everything will be, we'll be able to research more, our quality will be better.
We'll have an actual studio instead of sitting on mum's bed with curtains around.
Excuse me, there's sheets as well as curtains.
I'm sorry, sheets and curtains.
Yeah, so
it's a sight to behold, everyone.
Well, it can only get better.
Yep.
All right, we love you guys, and we will
see you next year.
Next year. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. You can follow us at Facebook at Solved, Unsolved or Spooky, on Twitter at hashtag or Solved, Instagram at Solved, Unsolved or Spooky. You can email us at podcast@solvedunsolvedorspooky.com. And if you want to support the show, go to PodFan and find Solved, Unsolved or Spooky and pick one of the tiers. Thank you. Please subscribe and leave a review on iTunes.